This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the head. Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got satin shoes.
Well, that was a really fast first 2 hours of the week. Just flew by here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Glad to have you with us. I got two more hours to go. Still lots to get to coming up later this hour. AJ Cassaville from MLB.com, of course, covers the Padres. So, you know, he's on the Padres managerial search. But in the postseason, at least the way I understand it, Woods, is they take the best of the best, and they have them cover the playoffs. And AJ's considered, you know, one of the top. So he's at the National League Championship Series right now. Is in St. Louis, now is in Washington for Game 3, which will take place tonight with Steven Strasburg on the mound against Jack Flaherty. Must-win game for the Cardinals.
Yes, pretty good pretty good gig if you can get it, if you're AJ Cassaville.
I understand that a 3-0 deficit has been overcome in baseball history.
Allegedly. I've never seen
it
happen.
But when you go down 3-0, you've got a 99% chance of losing the series.
Shocking.
So that, to me, means this is a must-win game.
I feel like every you play this game when your team's in the playoffs. All right? Every year, you play the game of, well, if we can get one at their house, then it switches. You know, we steal home field advantage. Ben, every game is a must-win, and that's how you feel. Going into it as a fan, you never feel that any lead is safe. When one guy gets on, everything gets super tight, and one guy walks on six pitches, and you're like, oh, God, that's it. Everything is magnified so much.
I think AJ Hinch said something similar. It's like, yeah, every game's must-win game. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if you lose? You move on to the next one.
Yeah, that's exactly
another must-win game.
Until you're out of must-win games.
We spent a lot of time in sports talk radio parsing the definition of what a must-win game is. So I try to stay away from that phrase because you'll get that small segment of people who go, well, I mean, the season's not over if they lose, so it's not a must-win game. Yeah. I get it. I understand. I try to use terms like it's a pivotal game.
Yeah.
The series hinges on this one. Maybe it's not must-win. Yes, you don't automatically go home if you lose tonight if you're the St. Louis Cardinals. But,
man,
you are in a really bad position if you lose tonight.
You're in hell. If you lose tonight, you have passed through purgatory, and you are straight in hell if you are a St. Louis
Cardinal
fan.
Good luck beating, you know, Corbin, Scherzer, Strasburg, and Sanchez four straight games.
Yeah.
If you fall behind 3-0.
It's really tough, dude. It is a really tough position to be in. But I'm telling you, if you're a Nationals fan, you're not feeling much better. You're not. You're still a wreck. It's just the worst. It's the worst. Somebody asked me last night on Twitter, Woodsy, how are you feeling right now? I said, I'm terrible. It's terrible. Until the game is over and you have a win, you feel like death. And you feel like anything that could go wrong will go wrong. And it's just the worst.
I think you have to be pretty pleased as a Yankees fan, though, by that team's performance in the first two games in Houston. Yeah, they didn't get last night's 11-inning marathon.
Yeah.
The Astros walked it off in a Carlos Correa home run.
Get those last ups,
in the bottom of the 11th. But they held they held tough with the Astros on their home field two straight days. You know, run differential. They certainly, you know, they had a better chance of going 2-0 than the Astros certainly did in that series by a long shot. You can't be too disappointed coming back to Yankee Stadium for Game 3 tomorrow at 1-1. Yeah, now you are facing Gerrit Cole in Game 3, but still, you've got the next three at home. You know, don't figure the series is going to end in New York. It'll probably go back to Houston. You're probably going to have to win another one on the road. But that was always pretty much assumed that the series, if it goes well for the Yankees, is going to go 6 or 7.
I mean, New York's pretty raucous during the playoffs, so it should be a really good crowd. I would do anything to be at one of those games. It would be incredible. And it just, you just never know. You just never know. And to only give up 3 runs in 2 games to that offense is you're pretty proud of that if you're the New York Yankees going home, and really you feel like you kind of gave that one away yesterday in a couple of spots. You know, that Nevin sending LeMahieu on that ground ball. Correa made a great play. Correa had a huge night. Obviously had their RBI double, had the walk off, had that brilliant play. But you feel like you're still in it. You know, you feel like you're definitely, you can hang with that team and you can beat that team. So Gerrit Cole is going to be a massive, massive hurdle.
Yeah, I had no problem with Nevin being aggressive there.
I did, because he got thrown out by 17 feet.
I know, but it took a weird hop that doesn't usually happen for them to even corral that ball.
If it's bang, bang, no problem. He was out by 12 feet.
He was out by a lot, but again, it's that was bad luck for the Yankees, I think, that the Astros were able to corral that ball as quick as they did. It's not hard. You know, once it bounces off someone, it's spinning weird. It is tough to – you see major leaguers all the time when they're trying to pick up a ball, just barehanded, it's hard to pick up. Well, double clutch, triple clutch, and you lose the play very quickly. The Astros had to execute that one pretty spot on to have that play at home plate. So I really would have probably said, yeah, I think you do send him in that situation. Make the Astros make that play. Now, Astros are a good team. They made that play.
Yeah, but they are. And you know, like I said last night, the heavyweight fight, it's a great analogy because they are two teams standing in the middle taking the other team's best punch. And it is, I mean, it's nerve-wracking to watch. Even the other Friday night, Ben, when the 7-0 win, or was it Saturday? Saturday night, the 7-0 win. Dude, you're still a wreck. Until, you know, they get a couple guys on here and there, and they're always a swing away. And it just, it's just been crazy. It's crazy. You miss it. You miss it. That feeling of watching games like that.
Sure.
Yeah. It sucks.
Although it's been so long, I've kind of almost forgotten
what
it feels like.
Yeah.
So I probably do miss it. I just don't remember. It's Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Speaking of teams and players that you pull for. Baker Mayfield has hit a rough stretch in his career. In fact, I saw a couple of memes making their way through the internet yesterday after the Browns blew a big lead against the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. Baker Mayfield now has 11 interceptions thrown through the first 6 games. The one that stuck with me was it was like a Scooby-Doo meme. It was like Fred pulling off the mask of the whodunit at the end. You know how they do on every Scooby-Doo episode? They pull off Baker Mayfield's mask, and the Scooby gang goes, "It's Johnny Manziel."
Oh, no.
That is rough.
That is rough.
But after all the hype and all the excitement for this Browns season, how this is a legit playoff contender, things are circling the drain pretty quickly here for Cleveland.
They are. And I you know, it goes back to me, for me, it goes back to the hiring of Freddie Kitchens. It really does. I mean, and you're not going to put it all on a head coach, but this guy had no idea what he was getting himself into. And I think that's pretty obvious. They're not using their weapons effectively. Baker's making bad decisions. He's under duress a lot of the time. And, you know, I still love the kid. Still love the kid. Will never change. I love everything he's about. I love how he handled the loss. Everything he says is the right thing. And he's just got to go out and back it up on the field. And, you know, Paul and I were kicking ourselves again because we both sat here and thought, what are we missing in this game? And early on, it looked like the Browns were going to run away with it. And sure enough, man, the Seahawks battled back. And the Browns were getting, 2 points? And I'm like, I'm putting all my money on the Seahawks. Well, I got swayed on Friday by our guest saying, no, Browns are going to win this game. Take the points. I did. I lost that game.
But you were winning it.
Oh, yeah, throughout.
Handily.
Oh, handily.
Handle it.
That's a tough one. Now 2-4, they've got a bye week, and then they come out of the bye week with the Patriots.
That'll be fun.
So that's a tough spot to be in. But they're not among the dregs of the league. Of course, you had the tank for Tua Bowl yesterday between Washington and Miami, which ended in just so perfect fashion, with the Dolphins actually having a chance to win a ball game. They were scored a touchdown down 70-10. They scored a touchdown with 6 seconds left to make it 17-16.
Yep.
They don't kick the field, don't kick the extra point to go for overtime. They go for two and the win right there. And the play they came up with, I know the inside screen pass was dropped. Even if it had been caught, there were four tacklers right there to break him down. It had absolutely no chance of success. And everyone says, oh, secret win for the Dolphins. That was key in the tank. You can't win that one.
If you're going to tank, let's really, really tank. A lot of, listen, I think that's a good move from Flores, at least going for it there, showing that he's willing to go out and try to win a football game.
It's probably the most exciting moment Miami fans will have all season long.
Probably right.
That two-point conversion. You give them something like that in a season like that. I don't have a problem with it. Now, the Jets had been winless going into yesterday, and they get Sam Darnold back, and surprise, surprise, they upset the Dallas Cowboys.
Terrible.
Get their first win of the season. The Cincinnati Bengals quietly are still winless as well. 0-6.
Yep.
It's the Bengals you don't really notice. But they've been really, really bad for the last now almost two seasons.
Yeah, Bengals look terrible. The Cowboys, though, I watched a lot of that game yesterday. They looked horrible. And I think when you're looking at like what the Rams have done since they paid Jared Goff, and if you're Jerry Jones, you're like, oh my God, I didn't want to write the check, and I'm going to have to write the check. Now, after the first three games, everyone, national pundits included, you got to sign Dak Prescott right now. You watch the last three games, he got killed yesterday. It's the Jets. And I understand defensive-minded coach, all of that. Holy cow. You had nothing to stop him. And again, here we are on Jason Garrett watch. It's already come out today. Jerry Jones says he will not be making a coaching change. Why? What in the world?
Well, as Eric Adelson told us, they get healthy again, get their tackles back. He's not as worried about the Cowboys as some other bad teams. And the one we didn't mention, I think the coach who's truly in jeopardy, Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn's got to go.
The Atlanta Falcons. When you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, I mean, I get they've had injuries, but and you're 1-5, and you're looking as bad as the Falcons have looked so far this season. There's something truly wrong right now in Atlanta.
There's no doubt. Yeah. Just another rough week for the Falcons. I picked that game, Ben. I took the Cardinals and the points and won that game.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, and won a little cash on that one. Picked a lot of
upsets. Kyler Murray the last couple of weeks has gotten a lot better from his first few games.
He is fun to watch.
Stopped taking sacks, looking a lot better. Now, obviously, the opponent caliber has not been as good, but yeah, good progression if you're a Cardinals fan. You like what you've seen.
So I wake up yesterday morning, and I want to put some money down on some games, and I text our friend and assistant producer, The Hammer. And I'm really...
Well, let's get started.
Yeah, and I'm really looking at that Texans-Chiefs game. So I text Hammer in the morning, and I say, Hammer, Texans going to shock the world today? Hammer's response made me put money on the Texans. He said, yeah, they're going to shock the world, but they won't shock me. They're winning this football game. And because of Hammer's confidence, I put $50 on the Texans.
First and foremost.
And got points. And won. Well done, Hammer.
I'd be careful. He says that every week about the Texans.
He does. He does. But I will say
this. He had Deshaun
this.
Watson is outperforming Patrick Mahomes. He was all over that and then self-congratulating himself on Twitter.
He was.
Afterwards. He called. He called a shot, so he gets to do that.
That's exactly right.
All right, we'll have more NFL coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. Again, A.J. Cassaville from MLB.com joins us at 7:35 on the Padres managerial search in the National League Championship Series. Up next, though, don't do this. Three stories from the world of sports that make you shake your head. Open mics always are rich, rich mining territory for Don't Do This.
Yeah,
one of the Yankee legends got in trouble over the weekend and had to issue an apology to a player.
Ooh. That's coming up next with Bennett Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
with Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get to our three stories for Don't Do This, coming up in the next 30 minutes or so, listen for your name to be called. We will be giving out prizes for our biggest fan. This week, we got 4-pack of tickets to the Halloween Bash at Viejas Casino and Resort, where you can win $750 for the best costume, while wicked bartenders will be brewing their most delicious drink specials from their cauldrons. Yes, that's what it says. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing, a Las Vegas getaway, bunch of show tickets. Just keep listening for your name. We'll pull one to be the biggest fan later this hour on Ben and Woods.
All right, Benny, I will get us started. Former Miami Marlins executive David Sampson was ratioed pretty hard on Friday night when he was talking about Daniel Hudson missing Game 1.
You're putting it lightly.
Yeah, he was.
Might be the worst ratio I've ever seen.
He got killed. He got killed on Twitter. Daniel Hudson's wife was having a child, and he decided that I'm going to be there for the birth of my child. David Sampson goes to Twitter and says, "Unreal that Daniel Hudson is on paternity list and missing Game 1 of the NLCS. Only excuse would be a problem with the birth or health of baby or mother. If all is well, he needs to get to St. Louis. Inexcusable. Will it matter? Hashtag wait to see." Well, you can only imagine how that went over. It went off like a lead balloon, basically. It didn't go over well at all. He then tried to walk back his comments the next day. Turns out it didn't matter at all, as Sean Doolittle came in and got the job done, picked up his teammate, Daniel Hudson. And I think it was summed up best by Sean Doolittle that said this when notified of the comments. He said, quote, "I think if your reaction to someone having a baby is anything other than, congratulations, I hope everybody's healthy, you're an a-hole." And did not shorten the word.
Let me turn this around, though. By the way, Daniel Hudson, first ever postseason player to go on the paternity list.
Yeah.
If Daniel Hudson had been there for the game, should he have been criticized if he had missed the birth of his child to be there for what is very rare in any baseball player's career? You know, a postseason championship series game. Like, some guys never even get to do it in their entire career. Should he have been subject to criticism had he decided, perhaps with his wife's blessing, to be there at the game?
You know, I think that's a really fair and interesting discussion point. I mean, I think both of us are married to women that would 1,000% want us with them, not at the game. Correct? You agree
Correct,
with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I was with my wife for both of our births. I mean, I didn't have anywhere extra special to be. I didn't take a ton off of time of work. We were in the middle of baseball season. I think I was back at work the next day.
Yeah.
The
day my son was born, I had to go back over to Clear Channel and cut a commercial. So I totally understand that sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to do. Yeah, I wanted to be at the hospital
all day long.
I
would have regretted my whole life if I had missed it.
Exactly. I think the point you bring up is, unless you have explicit permission from your wife of like, babe, it was their third child. It was born in the morning. The game was at night. I think everybody would have been okay if Mrs. Hudson had tweeted out, "Oh no, I told him to go out and pitch tonight." And I bet he would have done it, but I bet he would have done it begrudgingly.
Know, if it's Game 7 of the World Series,
ooh, mama,
and Ted Leitner comes up with laryngitis, and I get a call, they need you to call Game 7 of the Padres World Series game, and Shelly's about to give birth. Yeah, there's a bit of a dilemma there. It's like, okay, what am I going to do here? This is a tough call.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're calling it, by the way. Maybe called on to close the whole
out.
Right. Like, you're just calling it. I can understand. But, yeah, I mean, look,
I have a great wife. She'd say, this is your dream. You got to go do that.
It's definitely not David Sampson's place to say
no,
it.
That's true.
The Hudson family.
All right. Doolittle said after?
Yeah, I just read it. Where you been?
Doing work.
He just did, yeah.
He told you he did that when you were gone, too. He did it
Save
twice
that.
When I was gone.
We're going to have to go back and listen.
How about this one? Our radio.com insider Bob Nightingale tweeted over the weekend that Curt Schilling's looking to get back into the game.
What?
Is interested in interviewing for a couple of vacancies right now. The Philadelphia Phillies managerial job, also the Boston Red Sox pitching coach opening. It was met over the internet by nothing but scorn and derision and laughter. Mostly people saying, yeah, and I'd like to interview for the job of CEO of Apple.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen, Kurt. He's too hot to touch politically. I think, for any team to put him in a forward-facing position, at least in the game of baseball, where coaches and managers almost always stay out of political discussions.
I mean, please, Red Sox, hire him as your pitching coach. Please.
Sure, yeah. In the NBA, I think you have some liberal coaches who speak out. In the NFL, you usually have a couple of conservative guys, and it'll play with their fan bases. Baseball tries to stay out of the politics.
They do, and I just, maybe, though, Ben, maybe this could be a good thing. Think about this. The Red Sox hire him as their pitching coach. Then the state of Rhode Island can then garnish his wages.
Right, he lost $50 million of his own money and $75 million of Rhode Island's money 5 years ago.
They can garnish his wages and maybe recoup some of that, you know, being that he's gainfully employed by the Boston Red Sox. That'd actually be fantastic for anybody that's not a Red Sox fan, which I am one of. I'm going to wrap it up with a story about, one of the greatest Yankees of all time, Reggie Jackson, stepped in it a little bit.
It's his month.
It is his
Mr.
month.
October.
Mr. October is, he got himself in a little bit of trouble, man. This couldn't have been very comfortable at all. He was on satellite radio. He was about to do an interview with Jim Bowden. And he thought that the mics were off. The mics were not off. And Bowden asked Reggie,
"Don't do this.
Reggie, what do you think about Giancarlo Stanton being out of the lineup tonight with a hurt quad?" And he says, "F. He's been out all effing year. How the F could he be hurt?" And then he said, there was silence, and Jackson said, "This isn't on air, is it? Honest to God?" And he said, "Yeah, we're actually on the air."
I've done satellite radio. They have no commercials. You're talking forever.
You are talking.
It is a lot of talking. I'll say that.
Don't do this.
And then Reggie said, "Oh, no." He said, "It was a total OS moment for me. I thought it was a joke. I almost choked when they said I was on the air." So he texted then immediately the VP of communications for the Yankees, and the guy said, "Yeah, you're going to want to go down to the locker room. You're going to want to talk to G by yourself." And Reggie said, "Okay." And he went down to Giancarlo, and he's like, "Hey, man, it was a poor attempt at a joke. You know I was with you during your rehab. You know I love you. Please don't get your feelings hurt." But, man,
if I'm Giancarlo Stanton, it's like, you're right. I've been hurt. It's fine.
I have. You know, you're not wrong.
I'm laughing, too. You're not wrong.
But, oh, man.
I'm going to give Mr. October a little pass.
How uncomfortable was that?
Yeah.
How uncomfortable is that?
Yes. Plus, you can curse on satellite radio.
You can.
Too.
God, we need a satellite.
Although we didn't. When I did my show with Steve Kerr on satellite radio, we didn't do any cursing.
He didn't curse.
No,
even?
No cursing.
God, do you know how much cursing we would do on this show? You have no idea.
None.
All of it.
Still none.
All of the cursing.
That is "Don't Do This" for a Monday.
That was "Don't Do This," presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name, Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
You guys see, was it Kurt Schilling wanted to get
thank you, Paul.
Back into the managing?
Yeah. Gonna need that
pull.
Don't
that.
Do this, Paul.
Gonna,
don't do
gonna
this.
Gonna need that pull, Paul. If we're gonna get Ben for it, we gotta get you for it, too.
Coming up next, we'll go out to Game 3 of the NLCS tonight in Washington, D.C. That's where A.J. Cassavell is covering it for MLB.com. Plus, the latest on the Padres managerial search is coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Outfield shaded the other way. And deep, first pitch. And Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall. Looking up. See you later. See you later. See you later. See you later.
See you later.
Astros even the series at a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th. 3-2. Astros win it.
I was very confident going into the game that today was a day where I was going to break out. And, you know, I had some good at-bats, and going into that last inning, I thought, too, I got this. I feel like I got this. And I had the right approach against him. I've been successful against him going the other way, and that's what I try to do. I saw a good pitch down the middle, and I drove the other way.
Yeah, you did.
You can't be too shocked. I mean, the Yankees had already used Chapman. They burned through their best relievers.
Yep.
This is what happens when, you know, a good team extends the game.
Eventually,
you're going to get burned.
You don't want J-Hap on the mound in the 11th inning, Ben. Wow. It was an over. Boone overmanaged last night, but he did a good job. I mean, to even get them there, I thought he did a really good job. That's the way baseball is now. I mean, three innings is like three innings is max for starters in the playoffs sometimes.
American League Championship Series tied at a game apiece. We will talk NLCS here with A.J. Cassaville in a moment. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Just a couple of weeks ago, Woodsy, A.J. Cassaville was sitting in that very chair where you are seated now. Did a fantastic job filling in as a guest host while you were gone that week.
Yeah, I was a little worried. Out of all the guest hosts, I thought I was going to get Wally pipped by A.J. Cassaville.
He is back, though. He's got a busy job. He is on the road covering the National League Championship Series for MLB.com. He's also keeping tabs on the Padres managerial search, and he joins us right now on 97.3 The Fan from, I believe, our nation's capital. Good morning, A.J.
Morning, guys. I am in D.C. and looking forward to Game 3 tonight.
Excellent. So how many no-hit innings will Steven Strasburg throw tonight before finally giving up a base hit?
At least six, right? At least.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably the over-under. I'll say I'll take the under. I will play the law of averages here.
Pretty amazing. First two games of that series in St. Louis. I mean, you don't see that kind of pitching performance in the postseason very often because, well, postseason teams tend to have really good offenses to get there. So to have two straight days with no-hit bids was remarkable.
Yeah, and that was the most remarkable stat I've ever seen. That had never happened other than Anibal Sanchez and Max Scherzer in 2013, and then sure enough, they're the exact same duo to do it in games one and two of the LCS. It's wild. Baseball can be pretty crazy sometimes.
It's just the weirdest game that makes the least amount of sense most of the time. We're talking to the great A.J. Cassaville from MLB.com here on Ben and Woods, and so what's the mood around the Cardinals? I mean, at some point you got to be—they've got to be pressing, obviously, up there at the plate, and it does not get any easier for them with Strasburg taking the mound. I mean, that kid—he looks pretty locked in right now as well. What do you think their approach is going to be going into tonight's game?
Yeah, I sense a little bit of frustration from the Cardinals. I also think that they're pretty confident with Jack Flaherty. I mean, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball in the second half, and so I think Flaherty and Strasburg are both. Cy Young candidate kind of guys. They're probably not going to win. It's going to be DeGrom, but I think they would be in the top five. And so it's a really, really good pitcher's duel tonight. And I just think it's whoever scores first. I know that, I mean, it's so cliche to say, oh, it's really important to score first. But if you score first in a game like this and can kind of force the opposing manager into making some decisions like, do I pinch hit for my guy here? Do I get into my bullpen early? Because I don't think either of these bullpens is that good. All of a sudden, you've kind of changed the game. I also think the Cardinals have a little bit of an advantage being in D.C., where you're playing games 3, 4, and 5 in three consecutive days, because the Nationals' bullpen is extremely thin. They have two guys they trust and then a whole bunch of nobodies. And when you've got three games in 3 days, that's less rest for those guys, and you're less inclined to maybe push them 2 or 3 innings. So it's really, really important for the Nationals that Strasburg goes 6 or 7 tonight.
Yeah, one of the more interesting things I heard on last night's broadcast of the ALCS game was John Smoltz was talking about how hard it is when you're a guy like James Paxton and you're going up against Justin Verlander. And it gets in your head as a starting pitcher of, I'm not just pitching against the Astros, but I'm also pitching against Justin Verlander, and I can't let up any runs because I know my guys can't score. The good thing about tonight's matchup is you got two pitchers that are both capable of going out and throwing 6 scoreless fairly easily. If it comes down to a bullpen game, do you like the Cardinals a little bit more than you like the Nats?
Yeah, I do, but I also like the Nationals offense more than the Cardinals. So like there's some like kind of inverse there where it's just a pretty good matchup is all. That being said, the Nationals bullpen, I don't know how they're getting by doing this because they have 4 starters apparently. I'll throw Anibal Sanchez into that mix based on what he did in game 1. And then they have 2 guys in the bullpen. One of them wasn't even there for game 1, and like nobody else. And so they need to get 7 innings from their guys. So imagine going into a start knowing that you need to go 7 innings, and then their guys have done that. And so I think if there's any drop off, and if Strasburg, and I don't expect this because he's a phenomenal pitcher, but if he were to do what Paxton did, or if he were to go 3 or 4 or 5 innings, and all of a sudden you got to fill those middle innings, I think the Nationals could be in some trouble tonight. I also think they've got a commanding lead for a reason, and it's because the Cardinals haven't been able to hit. So I don't think I would expect that to happen.
Talking to A.J. Cassaville from MLB.com. He's in Washington for Game 3 of the NLCS with us here on Ben and Woods. So Bill Simmons, when he was a writer way back in his ESPN.com days, came up with something he called the Ewing theory. When Patrick Ewing left the Knicks, and all of a sudden they lose a superstar and they got better. that's kind of been a narrative for the Washington Nationals this year. Bryce Harper leaves, and now all of a sudden, here they are in their first ever NLCS and playing well. But how much of that is coincidence? How much of that is just vibe? I mean, what are people in, that are actually associated with that team talking about when it comes to Bryce Harper, if anything at all?
I don't think they're talking about anything at all. And I think that, I mean, that's a narrative that I kind of understand. And I mean, and I'm sure there was some rallying that had to go on in that clubhouse when they lost their best player. But I don't think this Nationals team is really all that much better than past Nationals teams, than the 2012, 2014, 2017 teams. Those are really good teams. And they just lost in game five of the division series. And this year they had a crazy comeback where Dave Roberts made some really bad decisions late and they were able to capitalize off of it. And that hadn't been the case in past postseasons. So I would be reluctant to say, well, look what they're doing without Bryce Harper. They also went out and signed Patrick Corbin in the offseason, and now they have three kind of ace caliber starters in their rotation. They might have the best 1-2-3 probably in the National League, and they're playing off that. So I'm hesitant to say this is Bryce Harper related, but there's no question that team had to, that when they lost him, they kind of had to rally a little bit. Maybe kind of missing him and that presence or whatever that led to some of their slow start this season. But I thought from the start that this Nationals team was a really good team, even without Bryce Harper. And part of that was due to the fact that they had pretty much everyone else coming back, and they went out and signed a really good pitcher.
Yeah, and I mean, just the guys in that lineup, the top of that lineup, especially Trey Turner's playing great. Anthony Rendon is a force and is a guy that's going to he's going to make some money here in the offseason for sure.
He's awesome.
He is so good. He's so fun to watch. It looks like his heart rate never gets above 60. I mean, he just stands there. It's just like, whatever. Like, he could be at a mall buying clothes or at the plate, you know, with the game on the line. He looks the exact same. We're talking to AJ Cassavell from MLB.com. Switching gears a little bit to back home, AJ. What are you hearing is the latest on the San Diego Padres and their search for a new manager?
Well, I haven't heard much new in the last few days, but I think we know the guys that have been interviewed, and I don't know whether there's any extra guys on top of that. I know Ausmus, Jace Tingler, Ron Washington and Rod Barajas, and I don't know whether there's someone else, but I get the sense, and I know different teams move at different timelines in this thing, and I get the sense that the Padres would maybe prefer for it to move faster. I don't know if that means but at the end of the World Series, because I know baseball likes to kind of keep its playoffs to itself and then kind of make the moves after that. But I think they need to they want to get a manager and then kind of go about filling out the coaching staff and making all these decisions that they have coming up in the offseason, because there is a lot going on this offseason. They have other decisions to make once this managerial choice is kind of solidified.
It's not like they're similar candidates. I mean, they've brought in four very diverse guys in terms of experience, ethnicity, you know, background, job experience. Is there anything you read into the fact that, I mean, inside the organization, outside the organization, experience with AJ Preller, not experience with him? What is there any commonalities that you see? Because I can't seem to find anything like, say, oh, well, these guys all seem like this type. It's not happening.
Yeah. Aside from the link to Preller, which a couple of those guys have, I don't really think there is, and I think that's kind of a point that the Padres are trying to make, because I've heard they essentially don't want to have a type for themselves. They want to kind of go into this with the notion that, hey, we need to explore all avenues because we don't know what works, because they this ownership group and AJ Preller hasn't hired a successful manager yet. So there's something to be said about that. I think that's probably the right way to approach it. I mean, you kind of want to cover all your bases and take a look at all your options and make sure you get it right. And that appears from the outside, they're being pretty tight-lipped about who the other candidates are and maybe what else is going on. But that appears to be the way they're approaching it is you want to get the best guy kind of regardless of outside factors.
And AJ, I got to ask, you know, typically when a team will bring in a new manager, you know, I know, for example, when the Yankees hired Aaron Boone, he brought in Josh Bard and he brought in Phil Nevin. We had Brett Boone on the air with us, and he said, well, you know why Aaron brought in Phil Nevin? He goes, I told him to, and he did, and it's been great. It's worked out well for them. Any rumblings or rumors that maybe we won't have the same coaching staff in place? Or have you heard that they want to keep Balsley and Johnny Washington and all those guys in place? And how does that work? I mean, if you're a new guy, don't you want your guys with you?
Yeah, I would I would be shocked if the same coaching staff was still in place. I think there's going to be some turnover because that's generally just what happens with managerial searches. And so I would expect for there to be some change. I don't know what that change is going to be. And that kind of depends on what the new manager thinks. And obviously Darren Balls has done a great job here. I don't know whether he's at the front of the list to be changed for there to be change. But Johnny Washington interviewed for the Angels job. There's some, it just comes with the territory when you change your coaching staff.
AJ, you and I talked when you were in extensively about what the Padres were going to do on the roster this offseason. And obviously we don't know for sure. It seems like they're going to try to make some trades and bring in, you know, another pitching arm, a left-handed bat, possibly in the outfield. Free agency, though, is something that Ron Fowler has told us, hey, if we have to, we will do that. Gerrit Cole is going to cost an absolute fortune. I mean, the price tag goes up every time he takes the mound. Steven Strasburg, I didn't think would opt out of his contract just based on how much money is left, but he's pitched so well this season, continues to pitch well in the postseason. He might be able to sign another long-term deal to kind of take him to the end of his career. I know, I mean, it seems like you don't expect the Padres to be that team again for another straight year, but the San Diego connection, bringing him home, you can't discount that as well. Being around the Nationals right now, is there any whispers about Strasburg's future and what might be happening this offseason?
Yeah, not necessarily coming from inside the Nationals, but from people I've talked to who are around the team pretty frequently. They think he's going to be back, and they don't know what capacity that is. And I get the sense that it's you kind of use that opt-out as leverage to negotiate a longer-term extension. So if that happens before his opt-out, then I think he's probably settled in D.C. But if he gets to the opt-out and he opts out, I would imagine the Padres will at least be in on him and check on it, because that is a pretty obvious fit, a guy who's pitching at the top of his game, maybe as well as he ever has right now, to headline a rotation that could really use that frontline guy that has kind of the young pieces to slot in around him. And so I would just be watching what he does with the Nationals and whether he gets to that opt-out, because it seems to me like he's happy in D.C. and he likes where he is and the organization likes him and might be willing to commit to him. But if he reaches that point and there's a chance that he does, then he's on the open market and the Padres are a pretty obvious fit.
AJ, really appreciate it. Enjoy the National League Championship Series continuing tonight, and have a good time in D.C.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Thanks,
AJ Cassavale, MLB.com. We say the Padres don't really seem to have a type.
Auto Roan waits
for their next manager.
No,
Ron Fowler has a type.
Yeah,
I don't want to give it totally away. He wants the winning type.
Yes.
Of manager.
Yes,
I don't think he could care less how old he is, how much experience he has, what race he is. He wants the winning type of manager to come in and manage the Padres.
Yeah, period.
That's it.
Period, the end.
It is time to announce our biggest fan for a Monday morning. If you hear your name, you will have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 and claim today's prize. We've got a four-pack of tickets to the Halloween Bash at Viejas Casino and Resort. They're going to have a $750 best costume contest and special drinks from bartenders brewing up Halloween specials. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for a Las Vegas getaway, including show tickets to Absinthe at Caesar's Palace, Opium at the Cosmopolitan, and the brand-new Atomic Saloon Show. Andrew Decker, you are the biggest fan this morning on Ben and Woods.
Yeah.
You got 10 minutes to call us back, Andy, 833-288-0973. Good luck, Andrew Decker, from Ben and Woods and 97.3 The Fan.
Benny, Halloween, a couple weeks away. Are we doing a dress-up bit, or do you dress up for Halloween? Oh, did you hear that? So much for that.
Dress-up bit? For and Halloween?
Yeah.
Like, what would I dress up as for Halloween?
Sasquatch. 6'5".
I can pull that off.
Yeah,
dress up
you could.
As Woods.
Dress up as me.
Can you dress up as me?
We can do that. You got to do your hair up like mine.
Black t-shirt.
Black tee, black just pants.
Extra gel in the hair.
Extra gel. I don't use gel.
Scruffy little scruff.
It's not 1986.
What do you use? What's your product of choice?
I have, it's like a paste, like hair paste.
Hair paste. Yeah, that's what I use too.
Like,
I use
like a spiking wax.
Yeah, it's like a wax, but it's not very waxy.
It's like a white cream. It's in a little canister.
All right.
I don't even know. It's yellow. It's yellow. It's got the yellow top.
Okay.
That's what I know about grooming products.
All right. So no dress up then. No fun.
I don't know.
We're doing the no fun bit.
Is it even a week? Is Halloween even a weekday?
Yeah. I think it's on a Thursday. Am I right about that? Or am I completely
sounds right?
That does sound right.
Yeah, it is on a Thursday. I'm going to dress up and have some fun. I'm a dad now. That's what you got to do.
That's
dress
true. You're a dad of a younger child. My kids have kind of out even grown the Halloween days.
Dressed up as an avocado last year.
That's right.
Remember that? Yeah.
Any plans this year to dress up young Bo?
Bo is going to be a baseball. Got him a baseball. Yeah. He's like a big, fat baseball.
He's going to love that.
He loves it. He put it on yesterday for 30 seconds and then tried to rip it off.
Oh.
So that I don't know how much it's going to last, but I don't know what I'll be. But I want to dress up for the show. I think
right.
we should.
I mean, it's like down. we're in an aisle here of morning shows.
Yeah, you know, there's everybody. I don't want to be.
I
just
know
the
that
only
there's. One. We're gonna just like there's gonna be guys that go way over the top.
Don't be the too cool for
shows.
School guy.
I just don't want to be like, oh wow, what a weak effort that was.
Well, your life is kind of a beating anyway with your multiple.
But also,
jobs
I'm not gonna sit in like 3 hours of makeup. In, you know, at 1 a.m. to get ready to come in here at 4:30. You know all dressed to go for Halloween.
Please do the Joker.
Oh,
please do the
that
Joker.
Would be
That'd be amazing.
Awesome. Wake
we
up
both
at 3 a.m. and do your makeup.
We both saw that movie.
We
this
did.
Weekend.
God, it was good.
And we both agree that if you were a male actor in the year 2019 and you had the role of a lifetime part of the year, sucks to be you.
Yeah,
because you're going up against Joaquin Phoenix at the Oscars next year, and you have no chance.
He was unbelievable.
I just can't imagine anyone could.
I can't
either. A performance that outdoes that one.
My skin was crawling the entire time, and he was brilliant in it. Paul's going to go see it, tomorrow after
the show?
Yeah, I think
either tomorrow or Wednesday. But yeah,
it's unbelievable. It's such a well-done movie.
It's disturbing, though.
Yeah, it's violent, disturbing.
It's hard to even know how to feel yourself in the audience as you're watching. Am I supposed to be rooting for this guy,
yeah.
against this guy? I mean, he's a homicidal maniac.
Right.
But
you're
also
sympathetic to him.
Are sympathetic to him at times. It's as realistic a portrayal of a cartoonish character as you could possibly imagine. I mean, and Joaquin Phoenix plays, you know, mental health issues with, like, nuance and has, like, a delicate touch on it that you just can't even fathom. So yeah, well, that was we both went this weekend. My son loved it. Hannah, she enjoyed it too.
Very much so. Yeah, we were really in awe of his performance. So if you missed the Joker, plenty of time to go see it. It's staggering. It's a staggering portrayal. Unbelievable. Loved it.
All right. We got 1 hour still to go here on Ben and Woods. Serious story this weekend, continuing to develop from the Los Angeles Angels organization, involving the overdose death of pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Happened earlier this season. New news out of that getting the opioids from an Angels team employee from their media relations department. That guy has a lawyer. Skaggs' family has a lawyer. Angels family, they have lawyers. There will be lawyers. Covering it for the Orange County Register is Jeff Fletcher. He will join us coming up next year with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.